Hey, y'all.
This is Talkin' Trash with Liv
and Lizzie,
the podcast where two friends show each other our silliest and most treasured movies.
Each week, we'll watch a beloved movie,
no matter how corny, childish, or contrived.
Sometimes a masterpiece with minor flaws.
Other times, a magnificent mess.
Because one man's trash
is Liv and Lizzie's treasure.
Friends.
Welcome.
Friends, so, plural.
Friends, plural. This week is a little different because...
Because I'm here.
We have a guest. Yay!
Yay! Hi, Kyle.
Hi.
Hello.
So this is my husband, Kyle.
It's me.
He is our first ever guest on our show, and he's here to watch a very special film.
For Cinderella month of all the months.
Cinderella month of all the months.
I took a break from cooking dinner for the two of you on recording night to...
Which is always very kind.
Oh, that's right. You've kind of been a guest star before. You took a break from making dinner and one of our episodes, I don't remember what we were watching, to come... Save us from the roach.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
There was the roach night.
Yep. So,
you are...
To steal Zoe.
Yeah, usually he walks in and is like, Zoe, stop it! And I yeet her out of the room while we're recording.
You are also taking break from raid night, which has happened a few times while I've been here recording. Yeah. So, but specifically because Liv wanted you to watch this movie so very badly.
I about had three ducks in a cow, so... Even though we are filming this, even though this is a part of Cinderella Month, we are actually filming this far in advance, or it will be far in the past for you listeners, because today, the day we are filming, February 12th of 2021, the year of our Lord, 2021, Disney has dropped maybe the best Cinderella film that has ever been produced.
Yep.
And of course, I'm talking about the 1997 Cinderella musical starring Brandy.
I was going to say, I love how you were about to say Brandy Cinderella.
It's
but
the Brandy Cinderella.
But if you don't have context for that, someone's going to go like look for the title.
Like Brandy Cinderella.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, like this is her film.
It's true.
It's magical.
She shares it well with Whitney Houston.
That's, you know, this may be, I this
think
may be
you
the
mean
Whitney,
that
Houston.
Whitney Houston shares it with her.
Yes. But so we were sitting in the car, we went and got some Italian food the other night, and I was like, oh my God, Disney Plus is going to have the 1987 Cinderella. And Kyle was like, the what? And I was like, the one with Brandy and Whitney Houston. He was like, there's a Cinderella with Whitney Houston in it. And I about had a heart attack.
I have vivid memories of watching this the night that it came out because it came out not on Disney Channel, but on ABC's Wonderful World of Disney.
Yes.
When they used to show Disney movies on like Friday or Saturday nights. And, this was a big deal.
They would like advertise when it was coming back on the channel, and I would like mark it on my calendar when I was little, so I knew when I could watch it again. Like, you know, back in the day when you could like record stuff off the TV with a VCR, a VHS.
That's how we had Emperor's New Groove.
Yep.
For years.
Yep. We had this film on that, but it didn't last very long because we like watched it one too many times, and like so we just would have to wait then for it to come back on. It was terrible.
How many of
are we dating ourselves here a little bit?
I was just about to ask, how many of you all had a rewinder, the sole purpose of which was to rewind the VHS?
We just had them all in the VCR.
We had a rewinder.
Yeah, so that was
actually it did it faster than if you did it in the VCR.
Oh no, we didn't do that.
That was the fanciest thing in our house.
And it was like you would go to watch a movie, and like, you know, as a young child with like ADHD and just kind of just a weird like I don't know, there was too much stuff to do and too many Disney films to watch. So I was notorious for like taking it out and putting it back in the case. Yeah. And then we would go to watch it with the family and it would be like in the credits and everyone would be like, Liv!
Do y'all remember the Be Kind Rewind sticker on the Blockbuster VHS?
Yeah,
also,
when this
also dates me. I remember going to Blockbuster and renting the first Harry Potter film because I don't know, when I was young I was a total panty waste and I thought it was going to be too scary to see in theaters. So I waited until it came out. And it was one of those two-part VHS. So you knew it was long when it was like the fat two-part VHS. Yeah.
Titanic was like that.
Titanic was a two-part VHS.
Yeah, it would open up and there would be one.
And like the spines would come together to make a full picture of Jack and Rose.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
We would check out stuff from the library a lot too. So a lot of those older films.
When I was your age, kids, we shopped around for 30 minutes trying to figure out what we wanted to watch too, except we walked.
Yes. Yeah.
And you
burned your calories before.
I will never forget the like pure bliss of being like a 10-year-old girl going into Blockbuster and finding the Mary-Kate and Ashley section.
Yes, there was an entire shelf
of Mary-Kate and Ashley movies.
There was always like so many. I don't want to derail this too much and just like, but there were so many more movies. I mean, in some ways, it really is similar to like to streaming services because there's so many more movies than you ever want to watch,
right?
Or, or that you ever could, you know? And you're like, what? You run into somebody like, what is this?
Yeah,
yep.
I remember.
I don't even know what this is.
Do y'all remember being little and there was like the horror film section?
Yeah,
and
you went in there.
You would like the way our Blockbuster was set up. There was like horror and action adventure, kind of like you had to pass the horror to get to the action adventure.
Yes,
and I'd wanna watch like some of the good, like the Musketeer movies and stuff like that. And so I'd be like running with my hands up past like the human centipede to try to get to, you know, or whatever film it was. I don't even remember.
Silence of the Lambs.
All of those. They all scared the bejesus out of me.
Yeah.
This is something I haven't thought about in a really long time. Our Blockbuster had in their old movie section an entire wall of VHS that were all the really old Little Rascals collections. Like not the movie they made in like the 90s or it was a remake of it, but like the black and white old school Little Rascals. And it'd be like four episodes on a VHS. And every time we go, mom and dad would get a movie for them and then they'd get us one of those. Yeah. And so that's why I've seen like every Little Rascals short that's ever existed
funny.
And I'm like, gosh, that is old.
But one of the things you guys were telling me about this movie is it didn't ever get a VHS release, right? Is that right?
I don't think it did. I mean, if it did, it was substantially like past its heyday. Like,
sure.
Yeah.
It was made for TV and it was this big to do, big special. And you know, the funny thing is it had kind of mixed critical review when it came out. Like people kind of made fun of it.
Yes. I remember it didn't get a lot of attention from critics or adults. I remember adults really didn't like it, but all of my friends liked it.
I remember talking about it at school and you'd go to like a sleepover and somebody would be like, oh yeah, we have like the bootleg TV recorded version of Brandy Cinderella, and then everyone would be like, yes!
Yeah.
Well,
and it was also one of those. It's Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella musical, so it's the old school Cinderella musical, and it is a made for TV movie. Yeah. I mean, it looks like a Disney Channel original movie type deal.
But it still has some great costumes, great sets, great like
it's a good made for TV.
It is
movie.
A really good made for TV movie. And what's funny too is I was looking at it. And now, like, critics gave it an 86% on Rotten Tomato. Like, so I think kind of the fun thing about this movie is a lot of movies from our childhood have aged poorly. This film is the opposite.
Yes.
This is like
we'll
a
find out,
hit.
Won't we?
Yeah. Like, but But it didn't age poorly. Like, people seem to like it even more now than they did when it came out, I feel. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. people in our generation in particular, like, I mean, it was, like, all over TikTok. People were going, like, buck wild when they found out that this was dropping on Disney Plus. Like, and I feel that, because I was, too.
Hey, you guys can edit these, right?
No.
Not no. well.
Oh, go then. We'll talk without you, I guess.
We could have done the, like, beep, like, right. the cut to sound effect.
Should we see you guys back in another minute or something? I don't know.
Is there anything else about this that you really want to talk about?
I mean, this is kind of random, but I find it interesting. The audience score only gives it like a 74%. And I'm really shocked by that.
Yeah.
Like, why? Who didn't like this film? That's what I want to know. I will personally fight each and every one of you. Oh, you know what's going to be hard, though?
What?
I haven't seen this movie in years. This is the first time, I think, watching this film since Whitney Houston passed.
Oh.
That's going to hurt.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt. I will never forget the night that I found out Whitney Houston passed. I was in college. I'd gone home for the weekend. My mom told me. And then I, like, saw it on the news. And, you know, we were kind of following. It was just terrible. And my roommate loved Whitney Houston, mm-hmm. but also was just kind of naturally, like, disconnected from the news and really just media in general. Mm-hmm. So she didn't know. Mm-hmm. So I came back to our dorm. I was like, hey, how are you doing? And she's like, what do you mean? How am I doing? I was like, I know how much you love Whitney Houston. And she just stared at me and was like, don't say what I think you're going to say. And we just sat there for a few minutes. And finally, I like started telling her what happened. And we ended up spending an entire night. We stayed up till like the wee hours of the morning. And we watched all these celebrities, various people singing the national anthem at sporting events. And we compared all of them to Whitney Houston's. Because like even in recent years, like Lady Gaga sang it a couple years ago, like the Super Bowl, and it was stellar. Mm-hmm. But then you compare it to Whitney Houston, and Whitney Houston sang like she was breathing, like it was the most natural, easy thing. And she would hit these notes that are stupidly hard, and she wouldn't like strain to do them. It just like came out of her like it was nothing. Mm-hmm. And we must have watched hundreds of national anthem performances on YouTube, and not one of them got in this, not a single one of them was in the same tier as Whitney Houston. Mm. Like, she was like a bracket all unto herself. So yeah, I do think this is going to be sad to some extent, like bittersweet.
Yeah.
You know, kind of the legacy and the magic that Whitney Houston left behind, but also the fact that, you know, what other magic would we have had if she had been with us a little longer?
It's the happiest of movies to experience that way.
Yes, it's pure joy and beauty from Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
Just everything that you want.
I'm excited to watch this in the year of our Lord, 2021. Mm-hmm. Specifically, because I think part of why we thought about watching this movie was you asked me what my thoughts on Bridgerton were. Mm-hmm. And I said, quote, I thought I was watching Brandy Cinderella. And then partway through that series, suddenly I was not watching that. So I'm excited to watch a movie again that's like truly blind cast.
Yeah.
And not Bridgertoned up.
I return.
Yeah.
He's back.
I've ruined the
premise of this episode.
You have.
By no means.
But that's okay. There were two.
My friend, your husband.
You ruin everything.
Two types
it's
of show
fine. Notes. We're so happy to have you here.
Screw you, Kyle. Anyways, the thing about Brit. Here's the thing. If you are going for realism, and you refuse to acknowledge race in a film, mm-hmm. you're making a mistake. However, let people of color exist in fantasy and just be, is just all
have,
I'm saying.
Just have it be just, colorblind.
Just let them, let's have stories that are fantasy worlds with people who look like people from all over the world and just let them
I agree.
Have a beautiful time and a great story.
The notion of it like, oh, but it's like historical accuracy. Bitch, she rides away in a pumpkin.
Right, okay? Right. Who cares? Historical accuracy. Cinderella didn't exist. She can be Brandy.
You know what one of my favorite things? We actually, I remember in middle school, did a short story study of the quote-unquote Cinderella story and how it emerges in various cultures. Mm-hmm. And so there's something about this particular story pattern that it's kind of archetypal in that it mm-hmm. shows up everywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the idea that it belongs to the Brothers Grimm is just...
Right.
Just false.
Yeah. And, yeah, I definitely think... And that was something that I did find kind of silly with Bridgerton. It was like, oh, yeah, racism used to be a thing. And then the queen was black, so now no one's racist anymore. And I was like,
it was really like, well, we had a black president, so
racism's over.
Racism's dead forever.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. That would be kind of nice, like, if it was that simple of a fix. But we all know it's not, and so then it becomes kind of insulting to be like, this one thing happened, and everything's good now. Mm-hmm. But we'll have to. We need to do a Bridgerton episode.
Yeah, we'll do the I still am gonna call it the Bingeton.
The Bingeton,
where we binge all episodes of Bridgerton. Yes. And then talk about it.
Sounds like a condition.
It does.
Oh, I am stricken with the Bingeton.
Bingeton.
I don't know. It sounds like it could also be a medication. Talk to your doctor. Bingeton is right for you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You're right.
So let us tell you a little bit about this film. You know a little bit about it, Kyle, but this film stars Whitney Houston, the Queen, Brandy, who really was like a newcomer at this point. She was like a new mm-hmm. pop star kind of emerging onto the scene. Mm-hmm. Whoopi Goldberg, Jason Alexander, Bernadette Peters, Victor Garber. He's that guy from, he's the bad guy in Legally Blonde.
He's the nice guy in Titanic too.
Yeah. He's the guy who designed the ship in Titanic. He's like, oh, Miss Rose, I wish I had made you a better ship. And then he dies.
Oh.
Yeah, him. And then I don't remember what the prince's name is.
Okay, here's my biggest hot take with this. I'm really sad that I can't remember anything else that he was in.
Paolo Montalban? I have no idea if I'm saying
you
that right.
It.
I'm so sorry. I'm butchering
it. I'm sure that's it.
My
both of the ways that you said it.
God, my phone literally won't even load his page. What has he been in?
I hope more.
Not a lot. That's
no.
That's the answer. Is not a lot. Which is such a shame because I remember him walking onto the screen as a kid and being like, oh, Prince Charming. Like he was like the quintessential Prince Charming. He's dreamy. He's a dreamboat. So the cast is completely colorblind. I mean, it's the musical pretty much beat for beat.
Yep.
It's good.
It's fun.
There's a few things that they changed that we can talk about kind of afterwards.
They
more change how things are presented instead of like what they are, if that makes sense.
All the songs are there. Do they have to, I mean, I'm guessing maybe the movie's shorter, so they probably cut songs?
I don't think they did.
No?
No.
So is it like a 3-hour movie?
No.
Okay.
Oh, you mean like so as a short you mean musical, like though. You mean like as opposed to the stage musical?
As opposed to the stage, yeah.
Well, the stage musical is already short.
Relatively short.
I haven't actually seen it.
They almost always cut stuff, you know, when they put it in a movie.
I've actually seen the stage musical, so I will try and remember which parts were cut or added. They may have cut a couple reprises.
Yeah, that probably happened.
But for the most part,
there's no curtain call.
There's no intermission.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a lot of dialogue things. But I will say it's extremely fast-paced movie.
Yes, it is.
Like we do not waste any time doing anything.
Yes, it's great. So yeah, are we ready to get into it?
I think so.
What are your expectations? We haven't asked you that.
I would predict a lot of pretty colors, and it's in the 90s, right? What year did it come out?
97.
So a lot of very that special effects.
Yes.
97.
Yes.
Yeah. Late 90s special effects where like everybody was flaunting what, you know, special effects tech they had. I would predict a lot of the queen herself, Madame Houston, totally upstaging the music and not running into like anything that challenges her musical singing capacity in any real way. I don't know.
You about hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
You know exactly what you're getting into.
Yep. Yeah.
All right.
Pretty much.
Let's do this.
Let's turn that pumpkin into a carriage and get rolling.
There is music in you.
How'd you like it, babe?
That was great.
Good. I'm so glad.
I was only slightly wrong about Whitney in a good way, because she actually got to, like, you know, kind of have some power moments.
Oh yeah.
You were like worried that she wasn't gonna get like the best.
I mean, you sort of showed me the one song that you sort of preempted me with.
I let him listen to like the first half of Impossible, and he was like, "Well, where's the notes?
Yeah,
like,
where's Whitney? I came here for Whitney.
I mean, she obviously is amazing in that song.
She's good,
but she can hit like incredible notes in the song. The song is pretty simple.
All of the songs in this are very simple.
It's not because it's Whitney; it's just because of the song.
Yeah, but Whitney can do some amazing things with her voice or something. Yeah. A song that's that simple. The thing that I like about her singing these really simple songs is that you get to see, if you pay really close attention, you can see what separates her apart from like just most singers. Because like, could I hit every single note in Impossible? Yeah. Can I hit them well? Sure. Can I have the vocal control and the like, the way that she controls her vibrato and places it on certain notes only when she wants to, because she's like that precise.
Yeah.
You get to see that because the music is so simple that she, like, her vocal mastery shines through, I think.
Mm-hmm. But I was spot on with the bright, pretty colors.
You were.
And
you
the,
were.
The 90s after effects.
Okay, I feel like we need to have a discussion about the 90s elements in this film that I didn't realize. Like, last time I saw it, it was basically the 90s. Yeah. So I wasn't thinking about
the whole how 90s.
The whole movie, but like certain parts.
Before we get into the details, though, I will say I was a little disappointed that Disney couldn't improve the quality a little bit before they put it up here.
That's true.
We know it's going to be in a certain aspect ratio because it was made for TV.
Right.
But, I mean, sometimes we talked about the frame rate looks really weird or it's a little blurry.
Yeah, and they could have cleaned it up a little bit, I think.
Yeah. So, but that's like the only like technical thing. Mm-hmm. As for like the 90s elements, the very first second that Whitney came on screen and her little magic's floating around her, I said, oh, it's the 90s triangles.
It has, like, the swirls and triangles that you see on, like, the floor of a skating rink from the 90s.
Or Rugrats when they're,
flash
the title up. And
I was just about to say, it kind of looks like the background of the Saved by the Bell song.
Yeah, very, very 90s.
That was all of Whitney's 90s magic.
A few other 90s things we talked about. Brandy's lips have that frosted gloss.
That
makes them look like kind of gray, icy, snow color. That was very 90s. Hair. You wanted your lips to look like they were there, but they were like, instead of having them be bright or dark, it was the opposite. You wanted them to be as, like, white as possible.
Yes.
Like, plasticky.
Yeah. You kind of want to look like a Barbie doll.
With the periwinkle eyeshadow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was a look. I said that the glass slipper in this literally just looks like a jelly.
Yeah.
It looks super plastic.
And even, like Brandy's braids that she has, there's something about how small and delicate they are that feels so nice. Like, everything in the 90s is so small. Like, her eyebrows are so thin and perfectly arched.
I don't think Whoopi had eyebrows in this movie.
No, it was the 90s. If you had eyebrows, they had to be, like, as small as possible. Yeah. If you didn't have eyebrows, honestly, good for you.
Yeah,
yep. I think those were the big one. Oh, I also said the prince's hair is gelled.
Yes, it looks crunchy.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, those were definitely the ones that stood out, I think.
I will say, it's been a while since I've seen this. I remembered that it looked kind of like a stage musical filmed, but I forgot how much it looked like a stage musical filmed.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Why
don't we take a minute, and this might be admittedly hard. Kyle, since you didn't grow up with this movie, you might have some more insight here. Okay. But because we do this on this show, what did not work? I only have one thing, and it was something we caught at the end.
Okay, go on.
You can see, like, the back lot of the soundstage in one shot. You can see, like, rigging and, like fencing that's just, like, chain link fence. And that, you barely notice it, but if you're nitpicky, that was just kind of a faux pas, I guess.
I thought this falls as, like, a critique to, you know, the original stage play, because I'm sure they just took the lines straight out of it, but I didn't think that the writing was all of that spectacular.
I think sometimes the lines can work a little bit more in a stage play. Yeah. I think we can be more forgiving of how unrealistic things are in a stage play as opposed to a film.
It wasn't just the realism. Like, I didn't think,
but,
like
no, I hear you, but like, I think film is inherently more realistic, even when it's not realistic. There are things that you can get away with on the stage that you just can't in film. And so I think some of these lines that end up sounding so, like, contrived or childish in a way enhance the fairy tale elements of a stage show because it's what you're expecting.
Yeah.
But then they just come across as, like, robotic and unnatural in a film version.
Yeah.
I don't know. What would you say to that, Lizzie? Does that make sense?
Well, this is not their Sound of Music. This is not their best written piece. I think in a stage musical, you have reprises, and the dialogue tried to do a lot of that too.
Yeah.
Stuff coming back. You said at the end, like, oh, look, they said the same things.
I do like that part, though.
I do think it's a little stilted and awkward, but
I like it, though.
There were so many moments that struck me. She was the fairy godmother, like, you know, teleports in and then lights the fire and shuts the door with her magic. And Cinderella's like, how did you do that? And she goes, practice. And Cinderella's like, okay, fine.
My favorite like, is Cinderella's like, but that's impossible. And then immediately the fairy godmother's like, there's like, my key.
Like, oh, is it? Yeah, I'm glad you said so.
You said
I wrote
one point
a song about it.
You said at one point, I feel like Bernadette Peters asked Cinderella a question and you went, your answer in song, please. Like, the transitions into song are just very, here's where it goes.
Yeah, it was like, what would you imagine the ball would be like? Is it, yeah, yep. It was just like in the form
well.
Of a song.
You need
you could just feel it coming, you know.
Yes.
The writing like intimates it minutes before they you know,
yes,
they break into it.
I would agree.
All that said, the movie opened and it zoomed in on Brandy's face and she started singing. And I immediately started crying.
You've been weepy this whole time.
I've been, like, trying to hold it in. I'm still, like, I've got tears in my eyes. Literally, like, that first song that she sings, I don't know what it is. I just really like this dance.
I feel like
I have so many feelings about it.
I feel like I'm like in the in between. Like I enjoy this movie. I would really enjoy showing this to little kids.
Oh,
like I would love sitting down and watching it with them. And there's parts of it that I would enjoy watching like again and again. I'm really happy that I've rewatched it. This movie is a vibe. This
yes.
movie is a, if I'm having a certain kind of party, this movie's going
yes.
on in the background. And yeah, there's parts of it that really make me happy. You talked about when they get to the ball and that really stiff choreography that they're
I
doing.
I love it.
When
it's,
he looks uncomfortable with all the girls.
The dancing's wonderful.
And then he speeds it up. It's so funny.
Maybe he has no desire to be in film anymore and he quit or something. But if that's not the case, if he just didn't get roles.
I don't know why. He's such a good singer.
He's a great singer. He was a pretty good actor.
Yeah.
And he's so, here's one thing that I love about this film. And I know it's not everyone's cup of tea. Like if you're a real like traditionalist with Rodgers and Hammerstein's music. But personally, Brandy's like soft, breathy, like she toes the line to me perfectly in this movie between this sweet, delicate Disney princess vibe with that little R&B influence.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you put that with the prince who is singing in such a classical musical theater tone,
mm-hmm.
it works really well for me. I just really like it. And I have a lot of feels about Brandy's voice because it just is so darn sweet. She's a great Cinderella.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I really like her, okay?
Yeah. I mean, I was, you know, your listeners don't know this. I mean, I was lampooning it most of the time.
He was like, making fun of it, and every, like, 2 minutes, I was going, shut up, Kyle!
But it was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I was enjoying every minute of it.
Yeah.
I was just, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to go through this like critical process of watching
right.
it for something that I'm going to be,
right.
you know.
You really liked Bernadette Peters, man.
You did.
I did.
You were like so enthralled.
I did not expect.
I mean,
for
she's
her
the
to,
queen.
She was great.
You got to understand when you talk about like Broadway greats, you talk about like Patti LuPone, you talk about Barbara Streisand, and you talk about
Bernadette Peters.
Mm-hmm.
She was, I mean, in every aspect.
Yeah.
Like,
she's such a good singer.
She like she stole the show when she walked on.
Yep.
She did.
And Whoopi did really well.
Okay.
Whoopi and the king and queen have this like adorable dynamic and it's really cute.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it's just as a side story about, I guess, Whoopi Goldberg in a sense. So I've always really liked Whoopi Goldberg. Before I even knew who Whoopi Goldberg was, when I was a child.
I know what you're about to say.
Do you?
Yeah.
I saw Lion King for the first
yep.
time.
Yes.
And not only was Shinzi my favorite character, I had a Shinzi stuffed animal.
Mm.
And you know, like, little kids have their whoopee, that thing, whether it's like...
You had your whoopee whoopee.
My whoopee whoopee. Literally, like, I will never forget, like, I lost Shinzi at one point and, like, wept for, like, days.
Oh.
And we found her again, thank God. But, I mean, that thing, by the time I had to, like, lay it to rest, was disgusting.
Oh my
I mean,
gosh.
Shinzi went everywhere, and she was my favorite. I don't know why, as a little, like, five-year-old, I was like, yes, this evil hyena is my favorite character. But she was.
Whoopi's got a great voice, and
she does
it really well.
She does. So even before I knew who Whoopi was, I really, really appreciated her. And mm-hmm. I don't know, I still do. Everything she's in, I'm like, what is that terrible, is it Ghost?
Yes.
That terrible movie with Patrick Swayze. The only redeeming thing about that movie is Whoopi Goldberg, period. Hard stop.
And Unchained Melody.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I love Unchained Melody.
It is what it is.
It makes me feel things. It's not really something that I feel that strongly about, but like I do
like sitting
it.
Here like
this has been the last episode.
Our friendship is over. if I can show you, well, no, you haven't really roasted anything I've shown you so far.
I know, but you still haven't shown me something that's really bad.
No,
I feel like when we get to like Twilight Month, then I'm. I feel like I'm going to have some things to say, because I didn't like, when I saw the movie, I didn't like it, and I don't know if that was because I was in my I hate Twilight phase, but literally, also, when you show me Twilight, literally, like, the entire time, all I'm going to have in my head is, you know, Twilight?
Twilight.
Twilight.
That's like, that's all I can think of now.
Yep.
But yeah, where
so,
are we going?
So, Brandy Cinderella.
Brandy Cinderella. What else can we say? Oh, Jason Alexander.
He can sing. He can
really,
dance.
He's really good in this movie. I love the prince is giving a
like,
ball. I forgot that it's the second
so.
Song.
Yeah. Like, he gets up on a box and, like, tap dances for a second.
He does.
I'm like,
he's great.
You.
Yeah.
What else is good about this movie? Everything. The stepsisters. Wonderful.
They're fun.
The set design.
It's really good. It's
yeah.
cute. Like it's a made for TV movie that knows what it is and does it well.
It's whimsical.
It's very whimsical.
I said I wondered if they reused any of those sets for The Princess Diaries 2.
Yeah.
Like the streets of Genovia.
It did kind of look. That was another thing when we were watching the dancing too, I said at one point that it the dancing reminds me of a Disney World parade.
Yes.
It's very, like, mm-hmm. it's got that Disney magic touch.
I wonder if there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
How Disney is your movie? Well, the baker runs into the street and almost drops the cake in the middle of the dance routine.
He turns at like a 5-degree angle and it still did not fall.
The
Hold on. Okay, there is something bad that we need to talk about.
Yes.
And it's...
Oh!
I don't know if this is the same thing.
I don't know.
Okay, so this... Honestly, for the time, it was great. It was wonderful. Watching it with 2021 eyes, man, that CGI pumpkin...
Oh, that's not what
was kind of scary looking.
Yeah. And it was weird
like,
looking.
Some of the colors on it when it was transforming, like you were like, why did the vines start green and then turn like poop brown?
Like a poop.
It was like, yeah. It just wasn't
like
good.
Like a Windows 98 screensaver.
And it ends up looking kind of good by the time it's like officially a carriage. But you know.
I have to be honest, I'm not a fan when the carriage itself still looks like a pumpkin. Like, one of the things that I like about the animated Disney one is that it is like this blinding
white
and gold
yeah.
with a pink interior. Mm-hmm. And like maybe it has the vague shape of a pumpkin, but it doesn't look like just a big old pumpkin.
Yeah.
And this one just looked like a big old pumpkin.
Yeah, I get that. This is me being really nitpicky, but there's one thing that I kind of like to judge Cinderella movies on.
And it's the moment she loses the slipper.
Oh, yeah. You didn't see it come off her foot in this one.
Instead, you see her limping away with, like, one shoe on. Yeah. You know? And I'm like, where's the scene where she steps out of the slipper and goes, oh, and, like, goes to get it or whatever, and then she sees the prince and has to
run. Mademoiselle!
Yeah. Like,
Senorita!
God.
I don't know why I remember that moment from the Disney one every single time. When
yeah, they're all calling her. That's the one thing that this movie could have done better. I want that shot of Brandy turning around delicately and realizing her shoe's gone and then gasping and continuing to run away. And I didn't get it. Instead, I just got her being like looking down at her feet like, oh, well.
Or the like,
when can I see you again? Oh, never.
Never. Well, maybe someday. When? Tomorrow? No. I love that movie. That was one of my favorite childhood movies.
Oh, you know what else I like about this movie? So first of all, I get really defensive of Cinderella because, like, she's lived a really hard life, and people are like, oh, but she just takes it, and I'm like,
don't blame the victim.
Yeah, I'm like, She's literally, like, imprisoned by her abusive stepmom. Like,
yep.
What is she supposed to do? Like, I will fight anyone who says that about Cinderella. Yep. But what I like about this one is I love the moment where Cinderella goes outside and prays to, like, the spirit of her dead father and says, like, I know I promised to stay, but things have changed, and I know now that I deserve love and I deserve something better. And she decides to leave. I love that.
Yep.
I love that she's like, I realize what it feels like to be truly loved. And because of that, I'm going to go and live a better life for myself.
Yep.
I'm like, that's a good message right there. Like, yeah. Hey, guys, you don't have to take abuse.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
Good for you, Cinderella. So yeah. I really like that they kind of focus in on that. But yeah.
I like that too.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, I don't know. It was fun.
It was fun.
I mean, yeah, like you said, it's no, like, you know, like, you know, Oscar winner. I don't think, but I mean, it was neat.
Yeah,
it was a fun little romp.
Yeah.
Yep. I think I'm interested to compare this to the other Cinderella movies, which obviously we're watching this one first, recording this one a little early.
Right.
But there aren't a lot of Cinderella movies that I don't like.
Yeah.
And
I've got one, but I have special reasons for not liking it.
We'll talk about it because we'll get there. Because I love it. But this one, yeah, this one just makes me happy. It's really short. It's really sweet. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I like it a lot.
So,
that went unmentioned. It was really brief.
It's like, very short.
Like it, the movie was like
it's an hour and 20 minutes.
I'm Cinderella, and I'm going to a ball, and there's the fairy godmother, and now I'm at the ball.
It's meant to have like an hour and 40 minute television run with commercial breaks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're like, oh, okay, this needs to stretch for like, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours, but we've also got to advertise stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is very brief, but it's an hour and 20 minutes that steals my heart.
Of delight.
Thank you, Whitney Houston, for producing a movie that was so special to my childhood.
Two thumbs up.
Yes.
Yay.
This is 2 out of 2 glass slippers.
Yay. Oh, that's cute. Yeah. I will keep that. I will copy that.
This is 4 out of 4 white mice turned into horses.
This is 1 out of 1 Whoopi Goldberg as the queen.
Now Lizzie has to come up with it.
I'm seriously sitting here like, I'm on the spot.
It was 3 out of 3 mice turned into horse carriage.
Who sat there for an extra second, just like
in horror?
This film was like 12 out of 12 crazy royal names.
Oh, yep. Sydney? Sydney!
Hermit? Herman.
Two out of two ugly stepsister dresses.
Those are some ugly dresses, and I love the.
But the shapes are so. It's so fun to watch them walk in them.
Yes.
They're very flouncy.
Ah, so great.
Yeah. So I don't know what Cinderella movie we will watch next, but we will watch.
Let's talk about some of the ones that we're planning to watch.
Yes. I guess if we do this one first, what's upcoming? We'll probably end up watching the animated Cinderella.
Of course, I think you have to.
We will watch the Disney live action remake Cinderella, the theatrical live action remake. Mm-hmm. And much to your dismay,
oh god,
we're gonna watch Ever After.
Yep.
We should probably also watch A Cinderella Story.
Yeah, that one's good. Yeah. I love some Hilary Duff.
We need some Hilary Duff redemption.
Yeah. And before anyone gets mad at me, look, I understand. I love Drew Barrymore, and I get that Ever After is a good movie. I have my reasons for hating it. And once you hear them, my reasons are justified.
It's one of my favorite movies, and I'm really excited.
I'm gonna have like wartime flashbacks.
Okay.
I know the entire script by heart. At least I used to, and I'm worried that it's all gonna come flooding back the second I see it.
Got it. That'll be fun!
Woo! Until next week.
Yep.
There is music in you and stuff. And
impossible.
Yeah.
I'm going to have that stuck in my head forever.
Right?
Kyle, thank you for watching a movie with us.
Watching us? What? I'm emotional, okay?
They didn't even drink this time.
No, we didn't. No. I had a Fresca.
The vibe was a Fresca.
The vibe was a drink that was like a soda, so I could relive childhood.
And COVID drink, shots. Like, Sunny D.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations on both of you getting vaccinated.
Yay, we're
vaccinated. Go get vaccinated,
everyone.
Yeah.
We're halfway vaccinated. We've got
yes, that's
round.
True.
Yeah.
That's true.
My arm hurts a lot, and I'm a little tired. But other than that, it's good. Feeling good. Yay. All right. Join us next week.
So long.
Thanks for hopping in the trash can with us.
Give this week's movie a watch and tell us what you think.
And let us know what movies you think are trashy treasure.
Maybe we'll give it a watch.
Follow us on Twitter at Liv and Lizzie to tell us your thoughts.
And remember, no matter how trash you feel, you are deeply treasured.
Bye!